Hey guys, and welcome back to the Weekly Chisme.
For this bonus episode,
we reached out and chatted to two friends of ours, one who currently works for the Los Angeles County Department of Mental Health and also helps assist with our county's homeless population. She discusses with us the importance of keeping sane during this difficult time of quarantine and how to take care of your mental health.
We also got to interview an alumni from Chico State University who graduated under health science with an emphasis in health administration. She is currently a nursing student in Utah, and we talk current COVID-19 restrictions, creative outlets, and ASMR.
So please sit back, relax, and enjoy this bonus episode of The Weekly Chisme.
Hello. Hello. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the San Fernando Valley.
Hey.
Awesome. Yeah. And can you tell everyone your name?
I'm Val, Valerie, Valeria. Either one. It's all fine, but we'll go with Val.
Awesome. So we were just kind of like recapping. We're touching base with a lot of people around the country and just like even locally. What are you doing? Are you working right now from home, or, you know, what's your situation like?
So I am still working. I am a social worker. I work as a mental health clinician in community mental health. So our clinic operations are still up and running, although a lot of them have moved to telehealth when possible. So I'm doing that most of the week. Still go into the clinic some days because people still need to come in. And then I'm also assisting towards the efforts to shelter our city's folks experiencing homelessness. So these are shelters that were put up at recreation centers in order to help stop the spread of COVID-19 and to give people some services while we're all trying to get through this situation.
That's crazy. And so, like, what is the organization's, I guess, what are they trying to achieve when the pandemic isn't happening? I know, is this an organization that has been standing, or were you working for this organization before this pandemic happened?
So I'm actually assisting with the county effort. So that's
Perfect.
But there's the counties coming together and putting forth their resources. The city's taking lead. So you may have heard even in the mayor's briefing just today, he was talking about this Granada Hills shelter specifically, which is one I'm familiar with, which was interesting. The county, the city's leading the efforts, and they're partnering up with the Los Angeles Homelessness Services Authority, which is who oversees services throughout LA, and that's also made up of city and county personnel. And then they're using local service providers, so organizations that year-round, have been providing homeless services and throughout the year, and that includes putting up shelters, that includes doing homeless outreach, providing basic needs. So it's a lot of people coming together.
That's awesome. I mean, that's really great to hear. And I think you did mention that you're doing like telehealth, telemedicine type of meetings or appointments with some of these people. What interested you about being part of this, not just the efforts, but what interests you about helping the homelessness in our county here in Los Angeles?
So my background is in community mental health. I have been doing community mental health for a while. I want to be doing it for as long as I can. And the reality of it is that people that are experiencing homelessness are some of the most vulnerable people that we have in our county. Because as a lot of us have come to learn, a lot of them have very chronic illnesses, physical health, mental health. They don't have the same kind of access to things that other people might have. And being out on the streets, they're very vulnerable to continuing to have poor health outcomes. And so, my interest is just in trying to support people who, again, don't have the traditional access that a lot of us have, either because they're underinsured, there's language barriers, there's stigma, so they don't go and access services. And so a lot of, the foundation of community mental health is to meet people where they're at. So sometimes that means physically, hey, your encampment or to the shelter. Sometimes that also means kind of where they're at in their lives right now. They might not be completely ready to receive help, but hey, I'm still going to go out there. gonna, you know, provide support. Even if you're not ready, that's cool. I'll be here when you need me. So that kind of work is really special to me, again, to just increase access. I'm a big believer in everybody having access to healthcare, to support, to resources, and that's what draws me to the work.
So amazing. Like with being in the field, like what have you experienced so far? Like good and bad? Like I know.
Yeah, give us some perspective of what you've seen.
Honestly, I've seen a lot of resiliency. You know, I think a lot of people are in panic mode and trying to figure out how to protect themselves, trying to figure out how to protect their families, how to, you know, what's going to happen. I think the great thing has been just seeing communities come together, for some of the most vulnerable people in their neighborhoods, seeing the resiliency of people that are already experiencing a really difficult time in their lives, already again have barriers, already have health concerns, mm-hmm. and just kind of them support each other. You know, there has been, you know, as far as the organizational piece of it, you know, as with anything, it's can be a huge effort to get services up, to get physical locations like shelters up and running. But I'm really happy with the fact that it's happened. Right now, many of our shelters are at capacity. So that means are coming in, they're using the services, people are knowing about the services.
That's amazing.
There's services mm-hmm. for people that are, they're just rolling out services and shelter for people that are highly vulnerable. And so if they have nowhere else to go, they will get some shelter to help protect them and the public.
So like what happens like in a shelter, like is over capacity, like they just don't let people in anymore? You guys just like direct them somewhere else, or you just still try and help them?
Yeah, that's one of the most difficult things for us, I think, because once there's no room, there's no room. I mean, right now the shelter, the city is trying to make everyone as safe as possible, so that includes keeping 6 feet between cots, which does mean that there's less room or beds at the shelter. It does present some difficulty when somebody comes and they want shelter and we're at capacity. So, we want to redirect them, find them where to go, communicate with our partners and try to see, hey, where is there a bed for this person? So just trying to continue on that to provide
accommodate everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. And I mean, the work that you're doing is really good. It's not just for our community, but for you to be an example for our city. I think that we need more people like you to be able to assist this vulnerable community or population. Now, personally for you, I know that you're kind of like, it seems like you're working from home, but also going out in the field at times. What has changed for you drastically, if anything, since we've been in this LA shutdown?
The big thing for me has been just not being able to be around my friends and family, my significant other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been the most difficult. I mean, as Myra will tell you, and she's also very committed to practicing, not social, but physical distancing. I take that very serious.
Yes.
So please explain, because I know that you just mentioned it seems like you haven't seen anyone or trying to keep your distance from people.
Because I'm already at risk, again, just doing the shelter work, going to the clinic, being exposed to, the public. Yeah. I discussed with my family prior to me starting these assignments and saying, hey, I'm going to be more about risk than you all are. And so I'm not going to, make it so that I, bring in potential germs and put you all at risk. So just trying to stay committed to that. It's disappointing to see other people not being committed to that. So trying to really to do my part. So, I mean, that's been the biggest change, really. Again, I'm still, I know that some people, it's difficult for them to stay at home and not interact with coworkers, not interact with other people, but I still have some of that. So I guess in that way, it is helpful because I do have to go to work.
Yeah, you have some human interaction.
Right. So granted, I get it. That's why maybe it's easier for me, but it's still not easy, being away from people that you love. That's been difficult. But I'm hoping it doesn't have to happen for hella much longer.
No, I'm just saying that as long as people practice this, and hopefully we won't have to be in this any longer, that it'll stop soon, but who knows?
Right.
And right. Valerie, I know you mentioned that your background is in mental health. So how are people dealing with the anxiety? Or do you think that it's going to make us closer as a nation or as a world after this is over? Or do you think that we're just going to forget? How do you feel like our mental health is as a whole?
Good question. I've been thinking about this a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about it a lot. Part of me worries about it. I think this is definitely going to change us. I think mm-hmm. this is going to have a big impact, have long lasting impacts. I think some of that, you know, is worrisome. I believe that there is risk of people, you know, there obviously is heightened anxiety for people that have experienced trauma or that, you know, maybe are dealing with PTSD or mm-hmm. that have, you know, there can be certain triggers right now as a result of being at home, of, you know, having feeling like they don't have a sense of control. So in that way, that worries me. I worry about people developing, you know, maybe like OCD type symptoms and yeah. you know, there's some of that. But at the same time, I think there's something to be said about the fact that we're going through this collective trauma and mm-hmm. we need to not, you know, we need to remember that. I think a lot of people are like, well, I'm going to, you know, get into shape and I'm going to be productive and I'm going to learn all these new skills while I'm in quarantine because I have no excuse.
Right.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But I think we also need to be kinder to ourselves and recognize like this shit is like, it's traumatic, you know, mm-hmm. it's worrying about getting sick, it's people dying, you know, it's being uncertain of the world, it's big changes. And so it's okay if you're not productive, it's okay if you, you know, gain weight, it's okay. I mean, yeah, we should take care of ourselves and we should all strive to practice self-care, but it is a collective trauma. Mm-hmm. So I think that also can have the potential to bring us closer to say, hey, like, you were there when this happened and I was there when this happened and we may be different people, but we had similar experiences. And so in that way, we can have that, you know, to bring us together and to say, you know, hey, we got through it. We survived. We proved that we're resilient.
I love that.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that will help us, you know, recover, because this is going to be a recovery process, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I mean, it's going to be a whole thing. So I just want to remind people to be gentle with
yeah them. No, and it's funny that you say that, because I know we had this in conversation like a while back, because I was like, oh, like I think something just hit me. I was like, I really miss going to a live concert. And it's sad, because even though after all this, whenever this ends, I don't think it's going to be the same, you know.
Right, yeah. And that's a good point to bring up, because what that is grief. Mm-hmm. You know, we're grieving our connections, and I think a lot of us are trying to keep connected the way we can, and thank goodness it's happening in 2020 with
technology, you know,
yeah.
But it's still grieving. Yeah, it's grieving those things that helped you feel alive. Yes, like going to concerts. It's grieving that physical touch that you might not be getting with somebody right now. It's grieving, you know, your routines, you know, people, I mean, you can't do the same things. And so all that's grief. It's also grief
yeah.
that we are experiencing. And again, that's why it's so important to acknowledge that first and foremost and take care of yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people right now are experiencing different levels of maybe not having the right income to buy certain groceries or food, or just finding support mm-hmm. during this mm-hmm. time, at least in the LA County. Do you know of any support or resources that are available for the people in our local areas?
So what I would recommend is follow your local city council, cool. you know, any neighborhood groups, anything you can. Follow them on Facebook, on Instagram, because they are posting. There are some food banks. So, you know, if you search food banks, you know, San Fernando Valley, there are a handful of food banks that are still operating. They'll do, you know, drive-through mm-hmm. contactless delivery of food. So there are food banks that are operating. So that's one thing. And follow your local neighborhood councils. I also really encourage people to link up with virtual groups. I think the silver lining is that now I think there's more access to things like support groups, because before you had to be at a physical location.
Right.
Oh,
now you can do it from home. So There are self-help groups, so everything from people that are in recovery from addiction to people that are battling with anxiety and depression, to specialized groups for men, women, you know, the LGBTQ community. I recommend checking out SHARE, S-H-A-R-E. And they do a lot of self-help groups. I know they have a whole calendar and lots of meetings and virtual groups that happen. NAMI, which N-A-M-I, it's the National Alliance for Mental Illness. They offer support groups for both people that are struggling with a mental health condition as well as their family members. They're great resources. And there's also folks right now that are offering teletherapy. So for some people, it might not be a bad idea to start therapy. You'll start it over the phone.
Right?
Insurance will cover it.
So what?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's good to know.
Huh. Yeah, that's good.
Did we
know.
Both just acknowledge that we both need therapy?
Maybe, yes.
That's a strength. That is a strength. I say it all the time. I think every single one of us at one point in our lives, we could benefit from therapy. Life is not easy, you know, and you don't have to be quote unquote crazy or have, you know, any kind of major issues to benefit from therapy.
Right. Yeah. I love that. Mentioned that because there is such a huge stigma. And I think the reality is that everyone does need to speak to someone at one point in their life. And I think it's good for your mental health.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. I agree.
You get to a point where I think, wait, you haven't been to therapy yet? Ugh, no.
Right.
That's an important part of growth. I'm a big believer. The last thing, if you're dealing with anxiety or just need, you know, some tips, some exercises on deep breathing, on grounding, on mindfulness, there's a lot out there right now. There's a lot of people that are doing, you know, mindful meditation, yoga on Instagram, on Facebook, their websites. I would also check out, there's a website called Virus Anxiety. I believe it's .com. You can just Google Virus Anxiety. It's a whole toolkit, a lot of exercises. And there's also a COVID-19 anxiety workbook out there. If you just Google.
Oh, dang.
You can, it's like a, gosh, I don't know. It's something like 30 pages of all kinds of exercises.
Ooh.
Things, websites. So there's plenty out there to keep yourself busy, keep yourself well, and manage this. I know we can all do it.
Well, I love it.
Yes.
And we do appreciate you and coming on and sharing your expertise
and
the area that you are very well and familiar with. And we thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I hope you get to come on again sometime in the future and give us an update.
Yes, we will.
Hopefully after this COVID-19 madness, and give us an update on how the community is doing.
Okay.
Yes.
Of course. Thank you. Keep well.
Take care.
All right. You too. Bye.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, you guys.
Hi, how are you?
Who are you? We know who you are, but who are you? Present yourself to the world.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sakura.
Nice. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Midvale, Utah.
What? Nice. How did you get over there?
You tell me. No. My friend, he went to school out here for nursing, and he like boasted about the program, so I needed to figure out what I was doing for my life, so I just decided to apply to the same program, and they accepted me, and...
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, now I'm here.
Well, Sakura and I met in college. We went to Chico State together.
Ooh, yes. Good time.
And we were, right, and we were under the same major, and we had Corinne last week, and we had that same class. Actually, we had many classes together. But Sakura and I always had the best time.
Yeah, you guys made school so, well, you made school so bearable. All of you guys did.
No, really. Sakura would come over my place. We would always be doing something. We were quote unquote studying.
I know.
But we were under the same major, under health administration. So it was a lot of fun. And I'm happy that you're, you know, finishing your nursing degree.
Congratulations.
Thank you guys so much.
How's that going? Are you enjoying the program? Or,
you know, it's pretty fast paced, but I like it because I am just trying to get it over with. So the program is only a year and a half long.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. But it's just a lot of work, but it's totally going to be worth it in the end.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So like last week, you know, we checked in with a couple friends from out of state, and we thought we would continue it, I guess, today with Sakura. And I actually met Sakura in Chico when I went up for their graduation. So it's been a while since I've seen her. But, you know, I follow her on social media.
Too long.
Way too long. Sakura, so just to start things off, so how have you been doing? Like, when did you begin this whole quarantine process like we're all experiencing?
Mm-hmm. So I know they had people at my school quarantining before me because I was actually doing clinicals at a hospital when all this was happening. But I know they canceled clinicals March 15th. So I've been quarantining since then, going a little crazy. Yeah.
That seems like a long time.
Since the 15th?
Yeah. It has been a long time.
Like, I don't even know what day it is anymore. I can't keep track anymore.
It seems like Utah was ahead of it. I mean, when was our official date here in Los Angeles?
I think around the same time because I think that following Monday was when we started because my birthday was the 17th. I was still going to work. So my last day was Friday. So we were like a week after.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's almost been a month almost since you've been quarantined. And I know you were doing clinicals and that got canceled. But what are you doing to stay kind of like creative at home?
To keep sane.
Yeah. Are you doing anything different?
Yeah. So I'm trying to become a brand new woman. Tell us more. Well, okay. So I've been trying to get into my old hobbies like painting and singing.
What? First of all, let me pause right there. I've been trying to hear Sakura sing for years.
Wait, you've never heard her sing?
I've never heard her sing, and she's also on YouTube, but I don't want to put you on blast.
I remember that. Yeah. It's a little secret.
So, Sakura, just make sure you don't get famous.
I know. Day calling me out about the YouTube channel.
It's like it was supposed to be a secret YouTube channel. Now it's all out there.
I know. It's kind of crusty.
No. But so tell us, so you're going back into your old roots and creativities. So what, besides singing, what else? Are you recording yourself singing? Are you making videos? So, what's happening?
Mm-hmm. So I actually just bought a mic to actually start recording myself just to have the time pass by. But right now, I'm just singing to myself, bothering my neighbors. I'm pretty sure they're trying to report me, but we'll see what happens.
I love that.
So do you have any past like singing experience? Have you ever done anything like in school or anything?
Yes, I used to do choir. In elementary school. And then I used to like compete with my neighbor, and like we would actually do like competitions in Bakersfield. But it's been a long time though.
Well, I'm glad you're getting kind of back into your creative roots and your singing. Do you know what ASMR is?
I love listening to ASMR
you
videos.
Too?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness. Yes. Not a lot of people understand it.
It's soothing.
It is really soothing.
I love it. Would you guys do it?
I'm still trying to understand it, but
we actually kind of dabbed in ASMR kind of by drunken mistake, but that's a whole other story.
I'm gonna need to hear about it.
Yes, we'll discuss that another time, but we thought we would want to tap into that and just be like, let's try it out, but it didn't go well. So, you know.
Yeah, we definitely want to get into that space. Do you have any recommendations and what type of videos you enjoy?
Oh goodness, I don't have the exact like usernames of the people, but I love watching people eat honeycombs. I don't know.
Oh, I've seen that. I don't know. I don't enjoy those.
But really?
I know a lot of people do. Yes, I've seen them because it's like they have like the whole honeycomb sheet and then they like break it apart or they like eat it. Like, oh yeah. That's another thing. Yeah. Oh,
wow. What's your favorite sound?
Me?
Uh-huh, to listen to.
I like the whispering ones, like when someone's like talking to you, like whispering to you.
Mm-hmm.
And like, just, yes, like that really calms me. Like I used to watch,
love that.
I used to watch the eating ones, but then I switched over to the whispering ones. So okay. I'm with those right now, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, nice. Okay, so Sakura, is it mukbang or mukbang?
Oh gosh, okay. I think it's mukbang. Am I wrong?
Me too.
Mukbang, yeah.
Wait.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know. You can say it either way. You can say it either way.
We're going to need to find an expert in mukbanging or mukbonging or muk.
Okay, whatever. Well, let's find out more about it. So to continue, Sakura. So with this whole quarantine experience, how are you doing school now? Like, are you doing it from home or?
So it's all online now. We don't have to go to class at all. It was so weird because as I said before, I was like trying to do clinicals, and since we had to go online, they had to find an alternative so we can get like our clinical hours. So they sent us a whole bunch of case studies, and I don't know. I feel like it's just totally different than actual like physical touch in assessing a patient in real life.
Yeah.
So kind of struggling there a little bit, but that is the best that they can do, I guess, right now.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, you know, we're kind of in the stage in life right now where everything is paused and everyone's kind of standing still with what they're doing. Obviously, mm-hmm. people are still working from home. You're still doing school from home. But how's your mental state? And I'm asking because I really want to get deep and personal with a lot of people and really understanding how this is affecting everyone mentally.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like I know your family is here in California.
Mm-hmm.
Are you keeping in touch and how are you doing that?
Yeah, so I always thought I was an introvert, but after all this, I know I like people a lot more than I thought I did.
I thought the same thing too.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I don't know, this quarantine has just given me like a lot of time to just think
mm-hmm.
about just my mental health. I'm trying to hang in there. It's weird because my parents are in California, but they're bored too, so they've been calling me 3 times a day.
To
talk about what though is my question. We're not doing anything.
Yeah, they want to check in and miss your voice.
Yeah, so I appreciate them. I'm grateful for them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I know my mom, like her mental health, she's keeping afloat by working still, and she's actually working in like a skilled nursing facility, and she's dealing with all this craziness too. I guess they've been telling her that she doesn't even need a mask to work with clients, which we all know is a lie.
Yeah,
so I'm confused, but yeah,
right. That's a total lie. And going back now that you're in Utah, so I've been to Utah before, and from what I remember,
I've
and correct
been.
Me if I'm wrong, they shut stores down really early anyways. So are they closing at noon now? Or
Let me see. Well, okay. I know Winco, I'm pretty sure they're closing a lot earlier than usual. I feel like everybody, we're not in like a shelter in place like California right now.
Okay.
So I don't really see that much of a difference. The only difference I've noticed is like the streets are a lot more emptier and mm-hmm. people are actually just distancing themselves. So I don't know, same hours pretty much, I believe so.
Are all of you wearing masks and gloves out there or no?
I have been, but I know a lot of people haven't.
Yeah, it's a little insane out here. And so we kind of wanted to go around from people from different states.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like kind of get their understanding and seeing how everyone's dealing with it. Because I do think that every state is kind of handling their own situation kind of individually.
Yeah,
they really are. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to have to listen to what's happening in California because that's good, but it's wild.
It is wild.
It is wild. Well, you know, it was really fun catching up with you. And
yes.
I think our last question is, what's the one thing that you miss from the outside world? What do you miss doing?
Ooh, that's hard.
There's several things.
I know there are.
I think that goes for everyone.
I know. Yeah. I feel like the thing I miss the most is just being able to like drive wherever I want and not have to worry about how many people are in a building and how close they are. Because there's been like a few times where I went to go take a walk in a park or like paint at the park. And then when I step out, we're all looking at each other doing a standoff to see how far we are from each other. And it just doesn't seem normal.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
And I wanted to circle back the fact that you are, you know, getting into nursing. Has your program touched on telehealth or telemedicine appointments? Have you guys discussed that at all?
No, we haven't.
Okay. Yeah, because I know what's going on right now. There's a lot of appointments that are not urgent. And so what they're doing here in Los Angeles is that they're promoting the telehealth, telemedicine appointments, where you pretty much go into your phone and get onto an app and you speak to your doctor remotely. So it's kind of like that's also a whole nother topic, but it's a very interesting thing given our pandemic and kind of seeing where technology is going to take us in the future.
I was just about to say that. I'm excited to see what happens.
Right? And you'll be a part of it.
I know. I'm ready.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you so much. It was fun catching up.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Of course. Take care.
Bye. Have a great day.
Have a good one.